The exotic animals dealer made me kneel on a caiman's tail. The reggaeton video producer paid in medianoches. The caterer forced me to serve poolside in glitter and a Speedo. But the gig that saved me after my father kicked me out was Chastity's. Her Craigslist ad read, "I've never had a black eye, and I want one. I need bruises for a photo project, but I also want to see what it feels like. I don't need any roiders here or knockouts, just a solid sock to the face. Thanks. Compensation? I don't know, $35 to $40? I wasn't really going to pay a lot for this, but we can discuss. Must not have Ebola or problem hitting a girl. Sorry, no black guys." But I responded to her post anyway. I'd reached the point in my starvation where personal ethics and phenotypic traits couldn't deter me. She'd wanted to meet at a coffee house, but I wrote back, "How am I going to punch you in the face at Starbucks?" The money wasn't much, but after a flurry of email exchanges, I discovered that of all Greater Miami's sprawling suburban neighborhoods, she lived in Saga Bay, 5 minutes from where I'd parked my SUV for the last couple of days. I was anxious to move on from the shopping center, as one of the security officers had begun circling in his golf cart, despite my alternating parking spaces every 2 hours or so. But in my bright red 87 Dodge Raider, who was I fooling? I'd backed the Raider into a space in front of the bagel shop, damn near on the sidewalk so I could catch their Wi-Fi on my otherwise useless phone. When the guard finally tapped his fleshy knuckles against the tinted glass, I wriggled from the Raider's bed into the driver's seat, turned the key in the ignition, and cracked the window.
"My man," he said. "You living out your car, my man?"
His head swooped, glimpsing the Raider's contents through the narrow opening. I'd abandoned most of my books and photo albums in my father's garage, along with my diploma, still enclosed in the cardboard envelope it had arrived in. There in the car remained the dead giveaways, my kitchenware and the duvet I'd needed up at college. Clothes piles were lumped in the Raider's cargo area, doubling as my mattress. "My lady ran into Publix," I told the guard, maneuvering my head into his line of sight. "She'll be out in a few." He made the face I'd been receiving more and more lately. The, "I don't care that you're lying, just don't infect me with your poverty" face. The, "If your family let this happen to you, then you probably deserve it" face. The, "I don't trust you around my kids" face I'd received from my sister-in-law, Shelly Ann, the week before when my brother invited me for dinner, but not to spend the night.
"Hold up."
A chuckle bubbled out of the guard's throat.
"Trelawney?"
Through the dust-beaten windshield, cars zipped along old Cutler Road. I could take it north, connect with US 1, then get up to Hollywood Beach or Fort Lauderdale, where next to no one knew my name. South would take me to Florida City, then the Keys. If only I had gas money.
"We went to school together, man."
"Yeah, I remember." But he could tell I didn't. Something like defeat eclipsed his vision. To find himself unremembered wrecked his Tuesday. "Last name Johnson, yeah?"
"St. Pierre,"
he said. A familiar scar cut through his eyebrow, making me think we had met, had maybe called each other friend. But I remembered high school like I remembered dreams, in waves, with little recall for faces or what they should have meant to me. We watched each other through the crack, neither asking what had landed the other here.
"Listen," he said. "I'll give you another hour, then you have to bounce. My supervisor's a dick and I can't lose my job over you."
The 60-minute reprieve St. Pierre offered was as much kindness as I had received in the 2.5 months I'd been living out of the Raider. I glanced down at my gas gauge, at the glowering orange light, and did the math. I could probably get the Raider a couple of miles up the road. Wherever it died, the cops would have it ticketed and towed within days. Then I would never get it back. St. Pierre lingered outside my door for some reason. I guess to ask,
"Ain't you go away to some bigwig school? Marquette or Notre Dame or someplace? What happened?"
"Graduation." He laughed, stretching his arms over the raider's roof before flinching from the heat, drawing them to his sides. His nose brushed the glass, eyes filling the space above.
Thank you for listening to this clip, provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.